Parsha begins with the hatred that the brothers had toward Yosef. The Shiltos has on every Parsha the drushes that he gave for the Baal Bakim. In the beginning of Parsha's Vayeshev, he has a whole drusha about the Sinas Pinam, that the mitzvah of Alice and Son, Sinas Pinam, the Midrashim say that the Kudin of all of the Batim Mikdashas was because of the Sinas Pinam. Igman Yuma speaks about the contrast between a Kudin Bayis Rishon as opposed to the Kudin Bayis Sheni, that the Bayis Rishon was mainly Chorin because of the major Averis of Avodah Zarah Gilei Arayis and Shpichas Damim. The Bayis Sheni, when they were very observant and very religious, so why is that Chorin? So Igman says because of Sinas Pinam, which is worse. The collection of all of the three Averis of Avodah Zarah Gilei Arayis and Shpichas Damim, or should we assume that the Sinas Pinam is worse? So the Gemara says, well, look what happened, look, history indicates which is worse. The Bayis Rishon was only Chorin for 7 years and then it was rebuilt, and the Bayis Sheni is still in the state of Kurban. So the Gemara says that history proves. First of all, the Gemara says the history proves. History proves that the moral values, that religious values. Now, Soloveitchik goes used to say that people would say, where did you get that from? The history, the Jewish history has Paschal Nois. They said, where did you get that? The Jewish history Paschal Nois. The Gemara says like that, but history has Paschal Nois for us, which is worse. The Sinas Pinam is worse. Although the Gemara makes this contrast between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, Rashi and Chumash quotes later when the brothers finally meet each other and Yosef reintroduces himself to the brothers, so it says that when he saw Binyamin, so they were crying on each other's shoulders. Bayekal Sabri Binyamin is Binyamin Bachal Sabarov. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that they were crying regarding the Churban of all of the Batim Mikdash. The Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, the Mishkan Shiloh, so that Medrash seems to imply that Sinas Chinam was involved in all of the Churbanos of the Batim Mikdash. But that's the Churban of the Jewish nation when it's Sinas Chinam. We would get along together. We'll be developed. That's what everyone is pointing out now about the elections in Yerushalayim. But if the Degel HaTorah with the Aguda, with all the religious parties would have gotten together, they could have won, they could have thrown out Teddy Kovach long ago. If they would get together, they could have thrown out the whole Memshalah a long time ago. But if they don't get together, they don't get together. So they'll always work. It doesn't mean, though, just because there's a mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, and you're not allowed to have Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam. If there is such a concept, it rarely, rarely applies. There is a concept of Halom Sanecha Hashem Esnad is coming after his Kaitra, which is a Pasuk in Tilum. The Gemara comments on that Pasuk, Sanecha Hashem Esnad, those who, not that they hate God, Sanecha, they cause other people to hate God, they must need. But say, Akhursim who cause others, not only are they sinners, they're Chaitim and Machtiim, they cause other people to hate Hashem also. But the Gemara says that it's a mitzvah that's no so. Mitzvah that's no so. Sarech Hashem Esna, mitzvah that's no so. It's a very restricted mitzvah. The question is that, on the one hand, you have a mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, and then there's an exception to the rule. Sometimes it's a mitzvah that's no so, if he's from the Sanei Hashem. So when do you apply which mitzvah? You have to ask a Shaila. It's a difficulty. You have to ask a Mera Haro, who has a good shikul. To be a stable individual who has quite a balance. A lot of people make a mistake. They think anyone who doesn't share their views and their hashkafas is right away a mitzvah lesnos. A lot of people think, oh, mitzvah lesnos, that's only mamish missionaries. Jews who have converted, who became missionaries, who publish anti-Jewish treatises and so on. But all Jews, even Reform and worse and Reconstructionists and everything and everybody, has a mitzvah le'ahava also. You have to strike some balance in between the two. You have to figure out exactly where. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this. That's in fact where the text of the Mishnah Berurah was tampered with. Years ago, the previous Satna Rebbe caught the fact that in the Israeli edition of the Mishnah Berurah, they tampered with the text regarding the Mitzvah L'Snoso and the Mitzvah L'Yahavo. I think where is it? It's in the Kufman Vav, I think, where there's a Lol Magad Avram where he has all the miscellaneous dinim that don't appear anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch, that appear in the Gemara, and the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch didn't quote him, so there's a Lol Magad Avram, Kufman Vav, I think, where he quotes everything under the sun. He talks there that, that's where the Mishnah Berurah has a little bit about Lashon Hara. He has all the Svarim that he wrote about Lashon Hara, but in the Mishnah Berurah he has a little bit over there in Kufman Vav, and it's about Avos Yisrael, Sinas Yisrael. He has a little bit there, so the Mishnah Berurah has a format, the way it was printed, so the Satmar Rebbe was surprised. He was once on vacation somewhere in Saratoga, I think, where he used to go. So he had a Mishnah Berurah, and he was looking inside, so he was surprised to see something that he thought wasn't correct about the Mitzvah Talad, even the Apikursim, and it didn't fit in with the rest of the lines on the page. The lines on the page of the Mishnah Berurah, they're always packed in with letters. And over here, it looked like there was empty space. But he checked in a different edition of Mishnah Berurah, he saw that this was an Israeli edition. They had tampered with the text of the Mishnah Berurah. But he had a right to disagree with the Mishnah Berurah, but shouldn't put into the text of the Mishnah Berurah things that he himself didn't say. They did such a thing with the Chayamur. Other Svarim also did like that. They did such a thing with the Chuvas Chasam Sefer about the Zman HaBein HaShmashim. That's a Chuvah about how long the Zman HaBein HaShmashim is. And people changed the text of the Chuvah. You can see that it was tempered with. Also, you can see that the empty space is in the middle. If you look in the older editions of the Chuvah of Chasam Sefer, you see what he really said. Apparently people in later generations didn't like it, so they touched it up a little bit. They improved on it. So they did to the Nadi Yehuda also. Nadi Yehuda sent to the printer his tshuvah. So one tshuvah is an anti-Hasidish tshuvah. He doesn't like the fact that they say the Shem Yichud before they do mitzvahs. He says it's against the halacha. The Gemara says in the beginning of the Zohar, that's dumb on the Shmon Koyd. Whenever you bring Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, even if you have nothing in mind, you have a blank in mind, dumb on the Shmon, as long as you know that it's a Karbon. And the fine chef, the Karbon, as long, if he doesn't know that it's a Karbon, then it's Mustafik. Mustafik is possible and Shkita's Kutch. But as long as he knows that it's a Karbon, even if he doesn't have in mind the six lishmas that the Mishnah requires, that you're supposed to have in mind for six things, so the Gemara says that'll be good. Not only will it be good, the Mishnah says that the Chachamim made a takana, it's mana bayis, that the dafke is preferable that the Kohen should shech from. He shouldn't have in mind the dafke lishma, because he may make a mistake and he may popular. If he'll have in mind the wrong kavod, he may pop. So they made a takana, everybody should have in mind stomach. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about this stomach lishma. He basically elaborates on that there, that not only does stomach lishma apply to karbanos, it applies to bris milah, and they assume it applies to all mitzvahs. Some Rishonim disagree. Dalzala has that, Chaim has that, there are some Rishonim disagree that it's only a dinim korbanos. But the Nadi Yehuda goes with the classical, before Matan Torah, before the Brisket Torah. The Nadi Yehuda goes with the classical classic places, right? So Tam Lishmon is not restricted only to korbanos, that it even applies to all the mitzvahs. If every mitzvah is Tam Lishmon, so what's the need to say the Shem Mitzvah Kudosh Vahim, the Mukhan Mizum, the Chaim Mitzvah, Plaini and Plaini, is Kamash Kaz Batar. It's Tam Lishmon, so he was very opposed to the reciting of the Hidden Mukhan Mizum. He was opposed to Hasidus in general. He was related to the Baal Shem Tov, and he lived in the same community for a while. And he was opposed to the Lashem Yechid. He has a whole shuvah about that. The story goes that years ago, only the Rav used to have, in America also, only the Rav used to have a lulavan and esrei. They couldn't afford to have all of the bread. It was so expensive, and the people didn't have so much money. They couldn't afford that every balabas should buy his own lulavan and esrei. So the Rav used to, the Kehillah used to buy lulavan and esrei for the Rav. And all the balabas would come and bench esrei on the Rav's esrei. So he would be mocked to them, matanam and aflach. And that's why, by some communities today, they still continue to preserve that minhag. Even though all the chassidim are wealthy, let's say in Bubba's and other places, all the chassidim are very wealthy and they buy their own lulav and esrog. No, but they bench esrog on the Rebbe's esrog. Oh, that's the minhag. That was not the minhag. They didn't bench esrog on the Rebbe's minhag because it had school, on the Rebbe's esrog because it had a school. They bench esrog. The Rebbe was the only one who had an esrog. The other people in the minhag didn't have an esrog. They did it by the Nodi Yehuda. He wasn't a chassidish Rebbe. He didn't think that it had any school. That's it. There was only one esrog in the whole community. They assumed the Rebbe had a kosher esrog. That for sure brought across their essay. That was it's not a new minute. Okay, it's not a new minute in America. But even everybody has their own essay. So you want to bench on the Rebbe's essay. A new school. So one of the Balabatim came to the Nadi Yehuda and he said he wants a Matanam and Aslahasi. He wants to bench Esther on his essay. So he gave it to him, and then he saw the way the Balabat started to say the Lashem Yehuda. So he took it back. He says he doesn't give permission to give his essay to someone who has a tradition in Hagen to say him. So he writes the whole children. And Chelak Arachaim about that Tom Lashman, and whoever says in the Zuman is against the Allah, you're demonstrating that if it's not Tom Lashman, it's not correct. And he concludes the Tshuva by quoting the Pasuk from Navi, Ki Yishorim Da'achi Hashem, Tzadik and Yolta Vom, the Hasidim Yikosh Levom. That's how he concludes. The Pasuk says the Poshim Yikosh Levom. He says the Hasidim Yikosh Levom. So the printer, when he saw that, changed the text. He just printed the Poshim Yikosh Levom. The whole punchline of the vote was that he didn't like the Hasidim, so he said the Pasuk goes on there, the Hasidim Yikosh Levom. So they say that later the Nadi Yehuda had a taina against the printer. What did you do? He said, I took the Poshim and I converted them into Hasidim. You took Hasidim and you converted them into Poshim. Anyway, they did that to different books. They changed. It is a problem. And we have a mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. You have to try to be Mekara people. It doesn't mean at your own expense. It doesn't mean, let's say, a lot. Years ago this was a big problem. Rabbanim in America tried to mimic the Balabatim, and they didn't work on their own children. So their children grew up to be non-observant, and they succeeded in getting some of the Balabatim to go to yeshivas, so they traded off. Instead of having their children be observant, so they got a couple of Balabatim to be observant, they lost their own children. So that's not safe. The person has to, first have to take care of your own children, and take care of other people. They say in the name of Rav Kook, they said that that klal, hayecha kaidim l'chayi chaverko, that klal originally was formulated in the Gemara with respect to Yikuach Nefesh, the Gemara. Hayecha kaidim l'chayi chaverko, beginning of Perek Yezeh Neshech, with Akiva, with Ben Petura, about two people going in the desert, there's only one jug of water and so on. So Rav Kook used to say that that klal doesn't apply in war times. the middle of a war, let's say the army sends me that I should go in a tank or I should go in an airplane in order to attack the enemy. So I'll say, I don't want to go. Even though there's a big sakana for me, even though it's, let's say, a vaday sakana, vaday nisa. You can't say, Chayecha kevim chayecha vech in wartime, Shas Muhammad. They said that Rav Kook used to say that today, the assimilation is so terrible. Rav Kook today, Rav Kook died a long time, over 50 years ago already. But he said that the assimilation is so great today that it's considered like a Shas Muhammad, those who are working in the area of Kiruv. And the problem, Chayecha kevim chayecha vech, doesn't fly. You have to work on Kiruv even if you feel that you're going to lose your own children. If you feel you're going to gain more, it depends how many Bali Tshuva are you going to get. How many children do you have? How many are you going to lose and how many are you going to gain? If you're going to gain two, and you're going to lose nine. So what? You're going to gain hundreds and lose nine. Okay, then you can say, Chayecha kevim chayecha vech. If you're going to win the war and lose a couple of soldiers, so that's the cloud. If Shas Muhammad, this rule doesn't apply. It also doesn't mean, let's say, when you're Makara people, it doesn't mean that you should compromise your standards. It doesn't mean that you want to be Makara people to go with dungarees, barefoot, half undressed, and whatever. So you should go barefoot, dungarees, half undressed also. So once in a while you do. If you want to meet the person who hangs out, the bum who hangs out on the beach, whatever, so you go to the beach, whatever, dressed like him for a couple of hours or for a day or two, whatever, and then you try. But you don't lead your life for the rest of your life like that, just in the expectation and the hope that you're going to be in the care of other people. There are limits. Rav Kook was known as the big Oyev Yisrael. He went out of his way all the time to be in the care of all the non-religious, anti-religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but he never walked around with dungaree. He walked around with his malbush, and the whole malbush. The whole business, the whole Malbush, dressed like a Chassidus Sheret on Shabbos, dressed like a Chassidus Sheret. The limits, people are magzin in one direction or the other. Some people are magzin, halom sanecha Hashem esnu, so they said that applies to anybody who doesn't share their view, their Hashem. And other people are magzin in the Yavis Yisrael. Not right. The Ramid Roshim, which points out that when the brothers sold Yosef, they made a cherem that no one should tell the father what happened. And some point out, some claim that that's the reason why Yosef and Ramban has this difficulty. Yosef was the ruler of Egypt for so many years, he couldn't send his father a postcard to tell him that he's still alive. Couldn't send him a letter to let him know that he's still alive. Still alive. Why didn't the Ramban give a shver answer on that? He felt that he has to be kind in a voice. He had the nevuah that everyone's going to bow down to him. Could have been the kind of nevuah by notifying the father also. What's it? It's a shver answer, a difficult answer. The kash is stronger than the answer. So some give a different answer. It's a difficult answer. That the Medrash says that they made a cheirim, no one's allowed to spill the bean. And even though the cheirim was bavera, I mean, they did an avera over here. But nonetheless, and the one against whom the sin was perpetrated was Yosef. He was the one who was the victim over here. Nonetheless, he was also bound by the chamsa. He wasn't allowed to tell the father. He wasn't allowed to notify the father either. It's very in the early Achrenim, I think, the Rebosh and others, the Rezid HaZov has an arichas on this issue with the Cherem. Because the early Achrenim point is that even though it was an aveir over here that they were doing, nonetheless, the Cherem was binding. And the Drashim say that they wanted to have a Cherem that was made by 10 people. There were only 9 brothers, because Binyamin wasn't around. And Reuben wasn't around at the time that they sold them. So they wanted to have a minion, so they were mitzarif to the Ribono Shel Olam. Be mashlim to the minion. Why do you need a minion? The Gemara says you can put a person in need. The Gemara says, I'm so the day ready. Put a man in need. The Gemara says, anyway, you see a person doing an aver, you can put a person in need. Why are you all of a sudden over here? So the Rida Zohar quotes from the smack, from the one of Rishani, the Balatesis, the smack. That a cherem is, the cherem is clearly Muhammad and an idui. Cherem is clearly Muhammad. There's two different things. It's just a machlekes and Rishani, whether they're three different things. Neither Cherem Shamto, Shamto is Mohammed than Cherem, or Shamto is the same as Cherem. Shamto is Aramaic, and Cherem is Hebrew. But these are clearly two different things. Nidui is certainly much less than a Cherem. So the smak is of the opinion that although Nidui can be declared by an individual, even by a woman, it doesn't matter, man or woman. You see someone doing an Aveira. The Gemara says sometimes you have the right, sometimes you have the obligation to be Menadeh the person, and the Nidui is Chav. But a Cherem requires a Nidui. In order to make a cherem, you need a minion.
Could be.
I think he said he quotes the smaka saying that you always need a minion. But one could argue the point and say not so, that maybe over here, It's just mecher, not as a punishment to Yosef, not as a punishment to anyone. It's made anu, anu zah.
Is the assumption that when you say Bavera,
what's the violator,
or that the
Kala won't be Kala? It won't be Kala, meaning
less than a minion. See, now if you have a minion, then Bavera.
Yeah.
Because the
assumption
that
the
Kala
would
be Kala,
maybe
you'd be
the last
violator,
except
for the Kala. Don't know. Did Ivan Shalom
okay
to that when he
was in
China? That's what the matter says, that Ivan Shalom wasn't the tariff for the
10th.
He was the 10th, yeah.
They assumed that Ivan was the tariff, or that he was?
I think the Midrashim assumed that he was Mitzvah. He wasn't starved to death. There is a Gemara in the first parak in Midorim where the Gemara says that if a person had a dream that they put in a harem and he wakes up and he's concerned about it, that he should gather together a minion in order to be matar the harem. Why does he need a minion to be matar the harem? And the Sefer Ravid Azov on this big Sedra, he says he understands why. If you all like the smat, if one should assume that you require a minion in order to put somebody in harem, the Gemara in Gittin has such a svara that you need the same number of people to break like something similar to this. You would require the same number of people to break a harem that you needed to initiate the harem in the first place. If one should assume that you can make a harem without a minion, so why should you need a minion to break the harem? That's what he
is.
They assume that he overheard the brothers making the harem. They were planning what they're going to do, and they said no one should tell the father, so then they made the chem, and he was still around before they sent him off to, before they shipped him off. The pasuk describes where Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to do a mitzvah of kibbutz, b'chov hashlacha fa'aleinu. Some have a whole discussion over here. The Haflah has a discussion in Kiddushin, the end of the first paragraph of Sefer Matan. He asks the Kasha, Shluchim Mitzvah Elim Nizokim. The end of the first paragraph of Kiddushin talks about Takin Kibud Av, that Elisha ben Avuya saw a child who climbed up on a ladder in order to fulfill the father. Asked him to go up on the ladder and perform the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKana. These are the two mitzvahs, Shiloh HaKana, Kibud Av V'Aim, are the two mitzvahs where the Torah singles out the Zchar. It says explicitly that in the schluss of these two mitzvahs, one will be Zecha Tarich HaSyami. And the kid fell down and he got killed. So Elisha ben Avuya became an apikurus over this. That's how the Gemara says. He became an apikurus over these two incidents. So the... not only does the Torah promise for these two mitzvahs specifically, that in Kibud Av V'Aim and in Shiloh HaKan the reward will be Arichas Yomim, but in general we have a cloud of Shluch Mitzvah in Nizokim, so it's not a strange incident. But that's what the Machna discusses over here. If there is such a cloud, there's more stuff in the first parak, there's more there in the end of the first parak, conclusion, the Shluch Mitzvah in Nizokim. So how come over here, Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to do the mitzvah of Kibud Av, and then he was told by the brothers and he got involved in the whole Eisek. But some say that nothing happened. Shluch Mitzvah in Nizokim. So what happened? He became Prime Minister of Egypt. I wish Afala Afunza Ala Kinder Gizakima. Wonderful. What's so bad? What's the tragedy? The question is it a kasha? So the Haflah, the Machna assumes that it is a kasha. What? He was interested in being away from the whole family for so many years. Yosef wanted to be away. So, it? Well, of course it was a tragedy. Others hold that it's not a kasha. Anyway, so the Machna talks about the kasha. So some want to say that he was only a shliach to go to Shechem. Father said, "Halo achecha roi mishchem, go to Shechem to see." And then it turned out that they weren't in Shechem. Vayova Shechema. He was looking for his brothers as Achai and Echim Rakesh. Where are they? Eifohem roim. And the man tells him, "No, they're not in Shechem. They went to Dothan." So he went to Dothan. The father never sent him to go to Dothan. So he wasn't a shliach mitzvah to go to Dothan. That's what some wanted to say. So the Machna writes, he doesn't think that's the correct answer. Because of the Mishnah in Gittin, where it says if a man sends a shliach to give a get to his wife, and he tells the shliach, give this get to my wife, and she happens to reside in such and such an address in Baltimore. And then he goes to the address and she's not there. She moves to Silver Spring. She moves to Florida. And the shliach chases after her to Florida and gives her a get. And the Mishnah says, that's okay. Ivan Shaleach, the Baal says, she resides in such and such an address. And the Mishnah says, and the Gemara explains in Kiddushin and Gittin, the Ma'am Makhubullah is just telling you what the address is. If he says, I appoint you as a shliach to give the get to my wife in Baltimore, and the Mashmah is only in Baltimore. He doesn't want him to give the get to anywhere else because it'll be an embarrassment. I don't want the people in Florida and Silver Springs to know that I divorced my wife. In Baltimore, everybody's going to know anyway, but I don't want the people to know in any other community. So then, if the shliach goes and he gives a get in another community, then he's a shliach shishina b'shlichusai, and the get is not come. But if the Baal just says, give this get to my wife, harehi b'shchem, harehi b'Baltimore. So then the Gemara uses the lashon mar makom hula. That's where the Minchas Chinuch got that expression from. Minchas Chinuch, whenever he raises certain issues, so he always tells you, this is a topic on the variousness. This is a topic. You look in the Shagas Darye, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, and you look in the Shach, and the Tosfos, and the Sivas, and this one, and that one. And then he says, the Mara Mokam Ani Lach. Mara Mokam Ani Lach. Just giving the Mara Mokam. That's the Loshon of the Gemara in Gittin, by the Baal Shem, Nino Shaliach, the Garish Hashishta. So that's the Machna doesn't like that answer. The father just told Yosef, Aloach Acharoi Mishchem, go see how the brothers are, and give me back a report. He didn't mean Dafke to appoint him to go to Shechem. It's just the Mara Mokam Aloch. So how could it be if Shluchim Mitzrayim was open, especially that it was Kippur Av, that discussion. So he said, the teret is obvious, that it's Shchiach Hezekiah. The Gemara says, whenever Shchiach Hezekiah, that's what the Gemara asked, how come the kid got killed, the one who fell down from the ladder? It was a Shluch Mitzrayim and Mizokim, and the promise of Arichas Yomim is Meyuchot in the Torah regarding Shluch HaKan and regarding Kippur Av Yem. So the Gemara says, the Sulam Ra'u Hashayni, by Sulam Ra'u Hashayni, same as what the Gemara said in the first parak in Pesachim that we had earlier on Daf Ches, that Shchiach Hezekiah Hashayni, here the Torah starts off, by Yisrael also, they hated him. They didn't get along with each other. Amish, they hated him, so of course it's Shriach HaZeker. One of the Rishonim points out on the pasuk, Vayomer Ha'ish Nasu Nizeh. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash Tanchuma, Hisiu Atzma Min Ha'achzor. Yosef says, Es Achai Anochi Mevakesh. He asks him, Mat Tevakesh. The man asks him, Mat Tevakesh, what are you looking for? So he says, I'm looking for my brothers. And he says, not to Mizet, no more brothers. They left the Achva. Mizet is referring to that thing that you're the institution of brotherhood that you're speaking about, not to Mizet. That's what Rashi quotes in the Medrash Tanchuma. So one of the other Rishonim in the Paneach Rosh, he quotes a liquid of different Balei Tosfos. One of the Rishonim points out that Zeh is the gematria of Yud Beis. He mentions this is Zeh Sefer Tal B'Sodom, Loma Zeh Anochi. So he says over here also, it's not to Mizet in the Yud Beis Shvatim. Zeh is the gematria of Yud Beis. They have broken the tziruf of the Yud Beis Shvatim and they're out to get you. But Shaitel Yosef didn't understand what the remez was. The Ish Basada told him nothing he wouldn't have got if he would have understood. He didn't get it though. The Chassam Sofer has a whole discussion about that. If they planned originally to kill Yosef and then Reuven convinced him, lo nakeinu nefesh, let's save his life. But originally they really planned to kill Yosef. They had some kind of a cheshbon that he was a raider. So if they were going to kill him, they knew that they were going to be Yud Beis Shvatim. If Adam Arishan knew they were going to be Yud Beis Shvatim, and Avram, the Yitzchak, and Yankit knew, and all the Imoyas, and all the Shvachas, everybody knew they were going to be Yud Beis Shvatim. So who did they imagine was going to be the 12th Shevet? So the Sam Sofer was apparently the founder of the women's lip movement. So he says, Dina. But it was only a half a minute, it was Mitzvah. Dina's going to be the 12th Shevet. Doesn't mean that Dina's going to get into Reef. Doesn't mean they're going to take her into Dina was going to be a shaman. It's a tashtikal maskana also, because the tour has also some midrashim. The Rishonim have this message that the three shalosh regal in Pesach Shavuot is keneged the gimel avos. It says that Avram baked matzis. The Pesach was somehow keneged Avram. Ulamitnei was a sukkah, says by Yaakov. So the Rishonim say that somehow sukkah has a shaykes. But Yankov of Dina. Yitzchok has more of a shaykes with the Shavuot. Make a cheshbon why. And then the Torah adds on, the Torah in Arachayim adds on, that the 12 Rosh HaChodeshim, which are also Ashtikal Regalim, are keneged the Yud Beis Shvatim. Like sometimes you have a 13th Rosh Chodesh, you have a Shana Mubaris, and you have other Rishon HaDosheni, and some of the Rishonim add on, that's keneged Dina. What exactly does that mean? The Chassam Sofer says she did have, some Sofer in the Drosh is over here, I think, on this week's Sedra, but yes, that she had a status of a semi-shaved, whatever that means. She didn't have any dinner, shvatim, a little service, anything, some kind of a status. On the pasuk, Vayeshvu lecho lechem, the Targum Unkel is strange, that right after they threw the brother in the bor, Vayashlichu also habor, v'habor reikein amayim, Vayeshvu lecho lechem. Then they sat down to eat. Some of Porshim points out, they had judged him, they would doubt him that he had taka din of a regular. So Yeshiva and Bezin, Gemara talks about whether the bezin is permitted to eat on the day that they dan somebody to an enesh misa. They threw him into a bar where they thought he may or he will get killed. Either they thought he was going to get killed by the hachayas, they were nechashim akravim, or they thought that he may get killed. Either one way or the other. A safek misa or a vaday misa, ayde groma. And still they sit down and they eat afterwards. How does that correspond to the dinim of bezin? Bezin's allowed to eat after they dan somebody to misa. On the same day the Gemara says, ain't tomim kum kolos al yam, shenem alo tzoch lo adam. You're not permitted to eat. The rest of the day also you're not permitted to eat. They were in violation of that. Forget about violation of the din. Just like that. Nothing matters. They just put the brother in a bar and he's holding by dying. They just sit down there to a party. That was striking pasuk. Anyway, the Targum Onkel says on the pasuk, Vayeshu Lech Lechem, V'Atcharu, L'necha Lechem, V'Atcharu, Choroskor means around. The Pashup Shat means that it was like Haseba. Mesubim. The Gemara talks about an institution of Mesubim, Haseba. The people are Kaveya Suda together. Not some that each one eats separately. No, they made a party. They made a party all together, a drinking party. The Midrashim say that they were punished because of this. They were punished. The whole party is always punished because of this. The Asara Haruge Malchus, many generations later, was an Oynish due to the fact that the brothers had sold Yosef. Rashi has the famous comment on the pasuk. Yaakov so aviv that the father kept on crying. Yaakov Avinu never, by mind his nachem, he never recovered from the loss of his son Yosef. He thought that Yosef was dead. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabba: "Ein olam mekabel tanchumim malachai b'sovah shemes alameis nigzur gzera shishtakech min alev aloy alachai." The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that it's gzera alameis shishtakech min alev lacha yudbeis chodesh. That's talking when a person dies. We always thought that that's a psychological principle. That's why the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world. So the Gemara says, yeah, but not exactly. This Medrash says, not exactly. Alameis. There alameis yishtakech min alev. Not stam. The person's not around, so you forget about it after 12 months. If the person is really alive, even though the parents think that he's dead, it will be vayimoyin lehismachim. If there was only alameis, not alachayim. A very striking comment. Psychology is not just that's the way the minhag olam, that's the way people think. Psychology is a gzeira min hashamayim, that's what the psychology should be. If the Rebbeinu Shlom's gzeira was worthy, gzeira lameis yishtakeh, then the psychology will be according to the gzeira. Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole famous drasha that was printed in English years ago. The Gemara has several dinim, the Rabbanim. Takanas the Rabbanim that are based on the premise of Tavla Meisav Tandu Mila Meisav Amalu, that women are more interested in getting married than men. Yosef Misha Huyish Rotsa Lisa Huyish Rotsa Linos. The Gemara has Takanas the Rabbanim based on that. One Orthodox rabbi years ago suggested that maybe since today the women are so educated and they go to work and they make a lot of money and they're much more independent than they were with Mana Gemara, so he thought that this psychological principle no longer applies. And if so, psychological principle no longer applies, maybe we should touch up some of those din of the Rabban, maybe we should change some of those halachas. Because they're all based on this psychological principle which no longer applies. The question number one, is that true? The psychological principle no longer applies? That Tavla Meisav Tandem and the Meisav Armelu doesn't apply? How do you know that it doesn't apply? My father has been a Masada Gittin for many, many years. He does Gittin. So he said that he has, very often he has a case where the husband is a moron, an idiot, uneducated, uncouth, smelly, greasy, everything. And the wife is a good-looking, attractive woman, educated, she makes $100,000 a year, the husband made nothing, she was supporting the husband. And when they came to have the guest, the wife was also dropped and the husband was not. The father said that he didn't see, and all of these years he still didn't see so much that the umdin had changed. Look, that's the question. If we should make such a survey and discover that the psychological umdana has changed, then maybe we should change our law. So Rav Soloveitchik got all annoyed about this. He was scheduled to give a talk for the rabbinic alumni here in Yeshiva. This is a long time ago. Scheduled to give a talk on Hilchot Geirus. So they all gathered together. So he said before he gives a talk, he feels that he has to speak out about something, and it's not his style to speak negatively about anybody, but he feels that it's terrible. He didn't mention who by name, but everyone knew it was written up in the newspapers at that time. So before he gave the shiur on Hilchot Geirus, he gave the shiur later, but he gave a whole drasha for almost an hour, I think. So he said that in halacha there's such a thing as chiddush, but we don't have such a thing as changing, not shinui. Chiddushim are part of the halacha. We have a masoira. The masoira tells you you have to have chiddushim, just like the Rebbe Shlomo creates. The Rebbe Shlomo is creative, so he wants us to be creative also. The Rav has this in several of his essays that he wrote himself, and others that were written, all the other drushes that were written by other people that are published. That the Rebbe Shlomo gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Chumash, and he gave him Parshas Bereishis, and everything that's a description of the Rebbe Shlomo's ways is to teach us how we should act. So part of the description of the Rav Shlomo's ways are that he created the world. So how is that supposed to teach us something? What, we should all create worlds? He said in a certain sense, we should all be creative, we should all try to be original. There is such a thing as chiddush. Everybody has to be mechadish. And even within halacha, you have to be mechadish. In every generation, you have to be mechadish. Rav used to say that in Europe, there were communities where it was Yadua, that every time they appointed a new Rav, every 20, 30 years when they appointed a new Rav, so it was understood the Rav is going to change the nusach of the Shtar Mechir. It's going to change, every Rav would change the Erev a little bit. He didn't like this, he held it should be better like that. There would always be some chiddush. Why? That's also part of the masorah. There's masorah, what the halachas are. That is masorah. You have to be mechadish also. In every generation, you have to be mechadish in abstract learning. Mechadish halacha lemaisin, hanhaga, also fine. But shinui, the change that he thought that. So he thought that this idea that the modern orthodox, which a lot of people have like that, want to be massive all the rabbunas, and change all the takonas that are rabbanon, and just throw out the whole Talmud Bavli. Because all the psychology is all wrong. So he says, so why don't you get rid of the whole religion then? Just throw everything out. He was very sharp at that time. And then he said, they're making a mistake about psychology. If the Rabbanu Shlomo writes in the Chumash, in the beginning of Bereishis, that this is the way he created Chava, that she should be, so he said, the Rabbanu Shlomo is geyser, that that's the psychology. It's not that the psychology is so because that's the way people think. People think like that because that's why the Rabbanu Shlomo is geyser. In the beginning when he created the world. That's like over here, like just Rashi over here. We always thought that when someone dies, how long do you mourn? So you cry, and after the Shiva you cry less, and after Shloshim you cry less. And after Yud Beis Kodesh, it's Mishtakef and Alei. The Gemara said, Rashi quotes, not so. It's Exerim and Hashemayim like that. It's not some psychology developed on its own. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going, that's the way it's going to be. Just like the Rebbeinu Shlomo made rules and regulations in physics and chemistry and astronomy and mathematics, that he made rules and regulations in psychology. That's the way the mind works, within certain limits. If Anshalm isn't Geyser exactly how you're going to think, then you wouldn't have any pure cautious. But within certain range, he was Geyser, this is the way the mind should work. Not a matter of common sense. What's common sense depends on what the nusach of the Gzera was. So like over here, the Gzera was Gzera Lameks, it wasn't the Gzera Lachai. At that time, Rav Soloveitchik was very critical of those Rabbanim who are trying to change the halacha, to update the halacha in accordance with our neurotic society. He always used to say that we live in a neurotic world. There's so many shikoni walking around. So we have to change our practices because of these neurotics. We have to go in our way. Why they feel, the women feel that they're oppressed. So let them feel that they're oppressed. We shouldn't be embarrassed of what our tradition is. We have our traditions, we have our dinam, we have our minhagim, and that's it. Take it or leave it. If you don't like it, then don't like it. It's not our tribe. We should dance to their tune. Let them dance to our tune. It's for the only reason. We should never feel embarrassed of what our traditions are. There's nothing wrong with our traditions. Our tanaim, we're heiligit, tzadikim, and anyone who used to say on different occasions about that, anyone who says that the tanaim or the amoraim or the rishonim, the people who are known to us, is... anyone who says that there was something wrong with their attitude towards women or towards business or towards whatever, or towards the economy, so that person is an apikoros. The Rambam says one who doesn't believe in God, one who doesn't believe in chirachoshes, one who doesn't believe in Yikori Hanun is an apikoros. And then the Rambam says one who's makish the Torah, one who denies the validity of the Torah, or the hamakish magideho. What does that expression mean, the hamakish magideho? A very obscure lotion, the Hilchos Teshuvah. Rav Soloveitchik said he spoke several times with his father about this, and they thought that that's what it means. Hamakish Magda means one who imputes chesroinus into the personality or into the character of the people who are known to us as Balei Masor. We know that the Tanoim and Amoraim who transmitted the Torah were holy tzaddikim. We're not making up a story. The tradition was that they were holy tzaddikim. So someone's going to tell us now, well, they hated women. They had a biased opinion about something or another, about non-Jews. They were discriminatory or something like that. So that's we assume that the attitudes that they had were the attitudes that we should have. Attitudes have to be transmitted as well. The Iker of Masor of Torah Shebal Peh is not just to give over a din here and a din there. What are you going to do if you have a new case and you're not going to have any defavorish a din? The Iker of the Masor of Torah Shebal Peh is to transmit the method, the attitude, the approach towards how to look at this world, how to view things. So the attitudes of the Tanoim and the Rishonim and Achrayim are very important. Rashi quotes from the Medrash, "He goes to him by Yerid Yehuda me'ei sechov," that he had a Yerida. Rashi quotes the Loshon from the Medrash, "Hariduhu echov migdulosoi." And they saw how aggravated the father was. Then they turned to Yehuda and they said, "We would have listened to anything that you said. You were like the Melech among all of us." And later, Takir, the Malchus came from Yehuda. So Yosef Shevet Yehuda, Malchus came from Shevet Yehuda. And at this time, temporarily, they had dethroned Yehuda. Yerid Yehuda hariduhu migdulosan. I saw one of the recent Gedolim has a comment on the incident with Tamar with Yehuda. Maybe Rav Tzvi Frank or the Maharal of Dishkin, one of them has a comment that obviously at that time the practice was that they observed the union of Yibum even not with brothers. Even with other relatives. Like it's the Megillah's Ruth you find like that. Even though there was already Yevtim Atim Torah. But still, they would observe something that was similar to Yibum, even though it wasn't the brother of the Nifas. Here, Tamar was interested in having Yehuda perform Yibum with her. And Yehuda didn't want to because he tainted that he has a din like a Melech. And the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, in the second Perek, Perek Hangonel, that the Melech doesn't perform Yibum, that it's a design for the Melech that he should... I'm going to fill in for him. Yochan Mashim Rachav Hameis. Well, I'm going to substitute for him. People are supposed to be mechabed me. I'm not supposed to go out of my way to be mechabed him. But that was Yehuda's insistence that he didn't want to perform Yibum. So Tamar, when she went through the whole shtick, and she dressed up like a Zayna, and Yehuda promised to give her an Esnan Zayna, so she insisted that she wants a... she wanted a mashkon. So he asked her, what kind of a mashkon would you like to have? So she asked for his personal things. Now, did he give it to her? He gave it to her. Either the Mishnah says, and the Tosefta says in Sanhedrin, that no one is permitted to use the personal belongings of the kings. So obviously he understood on his own that it was Haridu Migdilosa. He was temporarily fired. They had suspended his status of king. But that was her time later on, that since he was by Yerid Yehuda Me'ei Sechov, he was fired. The Mishnah talks about the Mismana B'Peh, Mistana B'Peh. You can fire a Kangoli, you can fire a king. You can impeach the king. So that's what she understood, that he had been temporarily hurad from his status of king. So that was her time, just like he gave me the Eirovon, that I was permitted to use the personal belongings that belonged to Yehuda, and it wasn't a violation because he lost his status as king. So too, you should have done the Yibum. So she prevailed. She saw to it that he did the Yibum. The first child that Yehuda had was named Er. The second child was named Onan. I think it's in the Targum Yonatan Ben Ezeel where he writes, why was he called Onan? Because Yehuda saw that they were going to observe Avelis, Aninas, after his death. In other words, the child was going to die before the father. Er also died before the father. So some point out, Mariel Diskin and others point out, and the reason you could know them, that this Targum Yonatan Ben Ezeel seems to be the mocker for the strange minig that the Ramah mentions at the end of Yerudeim, Hilchos Avelis, that people had a minig that if the Bechor would die while the parents are still alive, so the parents would not observe Avelis for the Bechor, only for the next child. Why? because the first is always given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You give Purim to Hashem, and you give Truma to Hashem, and the B'chor Behemoth Tara, and the B'chor Behemoth Meah, Peter Recha, Peter Hamor goes to Hashem. So the firstborn child is supposed to be Kodesh Lashem, and if the child dies, as if it's not the child that belongs to the parents, it's the Rabbi Shalom's child that dies. So there was such a strange minig, the Ramah writes in the times of the Rishonim, that if the firstborn child would die during the lifetime of the parents would not observe Avelus, only in the second child. So the Ramah says that that's utterly ridiculous, has no mukkah, the whole thing doesn't make any sense, and you shouldn't follow that minig. The Zerub Zerlin points out that that's exactly what it seems to say in the Targum Yonasan on these two psukim, that he only named the second child. Oh no, he didn't name the first child. He could say that he didn't realize that the first one was going to die during his lifetime. He realized the second one was going to die. But it could well be that that's the marker of this name. Strange thing. He already had the third child, Shelah. But he was afraid to let the Tamar marry Shelah. And he gave a teretz. Lemaisa, Rashi says, it was quotes from the Medrash, she was there chayisa bekash. That wasn't really the real reason, because as the years went by, the pasuk says that she saw that Shelah had already become kibrasa kigodol Shelah v'hilo nitna lo leisha. She realized that Shelah was already old enough to do yibum, and Yehuda hadn't contacted her that Shelah should do yibum. So obviously he was only being derech bekash. But what was the kriya bekash? What did he tell us? So he said, Shvi almana beis avich, ad yigdal shela b'ni, till he gets older. Ki omar, ten yomuz gam hu ki echo. Lest he will die. So they quote from the Brisker Rav, an interesting comment. Harit is the kiss. It's not really his style. It's like a Galician, like a Polish Shtikal Torah. That there's a Mishnah in Yevamos that says, katna bo yivim toi, to God leno. Let's say, a man dies and he was married and he has no descendants, he has no children at all, no grandchildren, no descendants at all. So he's supposed to have Yibum. What if his surviving brother is a Katna? He's not Bar Mitzvah. So the Mishnah says that Katna Bo Yivim Koi is not Kainan. Also, Bias Ben Teres Ke Maimer Begogla. Just like Maimer, if the Yavam, if the surviving brother is Mekadesh, is Yivam. So he's only Kainan Midrabbanon. So that's the Pashat Pshat. If the surviving brother is a Katna, he does be a Yibum. So that Yibum is only Kinyan Midrabbanim, and Atar is not Kain at all. That's not Taisa's line, Pashat Pshat. The Ramban quoted there, the Ramban Tap Tarakzan, the other Rishonim give different Pshatim in the Mishnah. But Taisa's line is the Pashat Pshat. That the Katan's volume, there's not Kain anything at all. There's not Kain anything at all. Maybe I should say that there's an Isra of Eshesach. We owe them every case of Yibum, there's an Isra Eshesach. But if the Makam Mitzvah is Yibum, so the Isra Eshesach is lifted, it's Mutter. But if you say that the Katan Ha'Boy Vinta is not Kain, so then there should be an Isra. So the Mishnah says, no, Katan Ha'Boy Vinta, the God Leno. She's older than him, but the Yavam is 25, and the Yavam is only 11. He's 12 years old. So it says that she can raise him, they can live together, and he'll be Bar Yivim Toi. And there's no Isra Eshesach, even though he's not Kainim and Atar at all. So if he's not Kainim, so why don't you say that there's to be an Isra Eshesach? So the Rajbo and Yavam is there, Takash, and says, no, the Zika lifts the Isra Eshesach. As long as the Zika, the fact that the Zika is clear, if there wouldn't be any Zika, then the Yavam would be permitted to marry Lashuk. Obviously, even though the Kotzen is unable to do Yibum now until it was Bar Mitzvah, there is Zika, so the Zika is Mata the Yisra Eshetah, but the key of Mitzvah Yibum is only going to be when he's Kainer, and that's going to be Begad Luthi after he becomes a Bar Mitzvah. But Adav Lutzalavetchik is quoted, I don't know, it's in the quote that he said this Haritas on this Pasuk. The Yoilam, this girl, Tamar, was a Katlanis, that she had lost two husbands. The first husband, Er, died, the second husband, Oilam, died. There's a machlekes hatanoim in the Gemara, whether a woman becomes, is declared as a katlanis if two husbands die or three husbands die. But he said, betrays him nihab hazoka, betlaz him nihab hazoka. How do we pass him halacha? So Yimon Yivamna says, halacha lamaisa, that by katlanis you have to go lechumra. That if even though only two husbands die, you should treat the woman as a katlanis. What's the halacha of a katlanis for maka mitzvah? Katlanis means that the vadoi is the next husband is going to die. It means that it's a chashash, it's a sofik sakon. But what if you're marrying the woman to the Makom Mitzvah, the Makom Mitzvah Yibum? The many poskim, many Rishonim and Achrayim say that the Makom Mitzvah Yibum, you don't have to be concerned about the chashash of Katlanis because Shluchim Mitzvah and Nizok. So they quote from Rav Elbala that that's only if the kid, the one who's doing the Yibum, is a Gadol. So a Gadol is in fulfillment of the Mitzvah because he's Kainet Yibum. But if the kid is a Katan, he knows the Asabiyah, he's over the age of 9, so it's the Asabiyah, and it's mutter for him to do the Biyah because the Zika is Mata, like the Rajbo writes, the Zika is Mata, the Isra Eshesach. You don't need a key in Mitzvah seed, but still, you can't say Shluchim Mitzvah and Nizokim. He's not a fulfillment of any Mitzvah, so the kid may die. So that was the Tchiyah B'Kash that he said. said Shvi al manav esavicha yigdal sheila biniki omar ken yom is gam huki echo. He was afraid that the woman had the status of katlanis. If she's katlanis, so what's going to be after he gets older? No, when he becomes klam mitzvah, it's going to be a kima mitzvah of yibum. Then katlanis is mutter because shluch mitzvah is mizok. But told man that he's a cotton, since a cotton boy winter is not kaina. So there's no kima mitzvah, there's no kima mitzvah, so you can't say shluch mitzvah in mizok. So therefore you have the hashash katlan. It doesn't sound like risk at all. Sounds like it must have been taken from the Klichem, though. One of the other Svarim, but that's what they quote in the name of Rav Avol. An interesting interpretation of the pasuk. Anyway, but that's not what he really meant. That was just the Tchiya B'Kash, Rashi said. He was afraid to have anything to do with the girl. When Yehuda gave her an Eirovon, he gave her the Eirovim before he was born there. Maho Eirovim asher etin lo, temecha samchus silecha vayitin lo, then vayovo eleha vatahar lo. When he gave her the Eirovim before he was born there. If a man is boal zayna and he promises to give the zayna a payment, an esan zayna, then he's obligated to pay up later on. The Gemara says if he's boal his mother, esan asa tera filo boalimo. The Gemara has in Baba Kama da Fainan base, if he's boal, Baba Tzir da Tzadik, the Gemara says if he's boal limo, then you say come lebe the rabbinis. Even though he promised to give the mother an esnan, he's not obligated to pay back because of come lebe the rabbinis. But if he will pay, since the boalas to sigei shemayim, he's mechuyif to pay even in all cases of come lebe the rabbinis. So if he will pay, then the esnan will be labeled as an esnan zayna. But if it's not his mother, if it's not a case of come lebe the rabbinis, then one is obligated to pay for services rendered. Look, the woman, that's what she does for a living. She's a professional zayna. And that's the pool. Look, if I ask someone to clean my clothing, I ask someone to paint my house or to fix my car, and I promise to pay and if he does the job, I'm obligated to pay. That's halach of serious purpose. This is her pool. The question is over here. He gave her the eirovon. He promised to pay her an amount of money. Gidi. Anochi eshlach shli. Anochi ashalach gidi yizimin atan. He promises to pay her a behema later. And he gives her an eirovon to pay that behema. The eirovon was given before he was even born there. What's the din in such a case? The obligation of the debt. That's a simple pshat anymore. That's how Rashi and Tosfos learn. The Rashbo and the Ramban disagree. She taught them to have another dispute in Shavuos and another Gemara in Hilchos Mashkan. They disagree and they say, no, it's not true. When you give a Mashkan, that can create the Hizchayvus. The Gemara says, Mon Enka, Mashkan Enka, and Achet and Beit Kiddushin doesn't mean to say that it doesn't have the status of a Mashkan. It doesn't have a status of a Mashkan. It just means that it's no good to Kiddush Isha. And they come up with a new concept of Agida Gadei. That's how they learn pshat in that Gemara. Agida Gadei. If, let's say, you owe me $100 and I go to the car and I say, the $100 that he owes me, I hereby transfer ownership of that debt to you, and it means the methods of transferring, let's say, my Shloshtam, all three of us are sent together. I say that $100 he owes me no longer goes to me, should go to you. But then the Gemara says, the Chok goes to her and she's Mukudesh. The money wasn't handed over yet, so that's not a problem, as long as the money is not by me. But let's say I'll make a Kabbalah's kidney with the girl. I want to obligate myself to give the girl $100 for the sake of solution. I look at my pockets, I don't have the $100. So the girl gives me a handkerchief, a suitor, in exchange for which I obligate myself to give her the $100. And I say, the Harem Kodesh is with the Hizchaibus, that I now owe you the $100. So if I would transfer a debt, if he used to owe me $100, now he owes her the $100. So the Gemara said, that's good solution. So if I now became obligated to give her $100 by her giving me a handkerchief, so that should also be good for Kedushin. So the Rashbo and the Ramban learn not so, because the money is Agida Gadei. Over here, when I transfer the debt that he owed me, that is, the money is not sitting by me. So I did my full nesina. I gave her the kesef, the Dovah Kodesh, that he now owes her the money. And the money is not, it's not that I'm still holding on to the money by a get, it's such a thing. But if you give a get to the other, the other, I give the get to the woman, and I have a string tied onto the get in such a way that I can yank it out of her hands. That's a lack of creases. You have to have been in creases for lack of. So if it has Meshicha B'yodah, it's not good. So the Rashbo and the Ramban learn that there's such a chisaron by kiddush kesef and by kinyan kesef by karka also, by all kesef, not only by kiddush kesef, by all kinyan kesef. If the money is not on Gita Gabe, if I'm machne the $100 debt that he owes me, now he owes it to you, then the money is not on Gita Gabe the koine. It's not that I haven't given over. I gave over everything that I had. But if I am now obligated to give you $100 and I haven't paid the money to you yet, you still have to come on to me to give it to you. But that, his chayvus moment, that fee of moment is not acceptable for him. So that's how the Rashbo and the Ramban learn in Gemara. Mon einkan, mashken einkan, they say they're giving over a mashken for a non-existent get, for a non-existent debt. For a non-existent chob, to bring the chob into existence, does accomplish the trick. The chosin will give the kala. If the kala gives the chosin a handkerchief, either kinyan suda, the chosin is now obligated to give it $100 if that's what they made up. Or who adinami, if the chosin gives a mashkin to the kala and he says, by my giving over, this mashkin I hereby obligate myself to give you $100, and the Rajva holds not like Rashi Taisus, that it does create that his side is not to pay the $100. But he says, that's no good in either case. Not by the kinyan suda. And not by kinyan shtar, that's the chosin, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100, and he gives it a shtar. So then he's obligated to give her $100, but the money is still a giri gabe. He hasn't handed over, he hasn't shelled out the money yet. Or in the case that he gave a mashkin to the kala, also the Rashbo and the Ramban hold that does create the chayva. But it's a giri gabe, he hasn't given over the money. It's mechus guvayna by him. So that's a lack of, that's a lack of nesinas hakesa, so that's not good. That's what the Revid Azor points out. He says, how come over here it's called a raven and the chumish dvorim is called avot? How come you don't use the same lashon? But he wants to say that maybe this is an indication, not like the Rashbo, maybe it's the right to Rashi and Tosfos. But it doesn't, since the Rabban here was given before Baal Ha'ol, because afterwards, Vayitan lo, Vayavo Eleha, Vatar lo. Afterwards, Vayavo Eleha. So after Vayavo Eleha, then he owes her the money, Mitam Tzivos Kodem. Then he would have given a mashkin about it. You can give a mashkin on a chob that already exists, but if you give a mashkin on a chob that doesn't exist, Rashi and Tosfos hold that the mashkin is Lashmei Mashkin. It doesn't have a status of mashkin. That's what he wants to be in the diet. Maybe that's why the Loshon Eirovin is used, as opposed to the Loshon Avod. Akkat Mashmo is against the Ramban and the Rashbo. That it does not have the status of Mashmo. The Pasuk continues that after 3 months, Vayikim Mishlosh Chodoshim, they realized that the Toma was pregnant, and they assumed that she had been Mizana with a Goyim. They robbed the people around the Goyim, so... What is it have to say Vayikim Mishlosh Chodoshim? So the Gemara points out a Nida, and the first parak in Nida, Dafkes. Teretz Nimukov, Dafkes on the day, that Hukah Rubra takes place after 3 months. Al-Pidin is a category of Hukah Rubra. When do you declare a woman as a Mubaris? When it's Hukah Rubra. When is it Hukah Rubra? After 3 months. What's the significance of the Halashem Hukah Rubra? So usually it's Benigeh to Dinim the Rabbanah. That a woman who is a Mubaris is a Mesulek is Damim, Benigeh to the Dinim of Daya Shaita. That's the Chumra is the Rabbanah. Or the negate to fasting on a time of the Rabban, fasting on a Sarabatavis, and some Gedalia, Shavas of the time. If a woman is Nazareth and Manika, automatically doesn't have to fast, Medina the Gemara, Nikar Adin. And we only consider her, even though she took a pregnancy test and she knows that she's pregnant, we don't consider that Mubaris until she's already pregnant for 3 months, Sukaruba. It's Negea though, even to Dinam Deraisa, because the Gemara has, we just learned it the other day in Tesis, in the first parak Misoch. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Adav Samaches, Samaches, that a Ben Zorah Amora is only Chayiv Nisa after he's Bar Mitzvah. If the kid steals money from his parents and then he goes and he buys the meat and the wine and he hangs out with hooligans and so on, if he does all this before Bar Mitzvah, so a cotton is a la baranch. So it's only if he does it after Bar Mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, but it's only, the Mishnah says, only the first 3 months after his Bar Mitzvah. After the first 3 months are up, he can no longer become a Ben Zorah Amora, because the Pasuk says Bain. And Bain Veloy Ov. Only if the kid is a child, but if he's already a father, so then there's no din of Bain Saramar. When is he a father? When he gets married and he has children. So we say, yeah, but in din in the fashas, whenever you have a pasuk in din in the fashas, you always, the midrash are and reshes for him are different. You always darshan the psukim lekula. In kolatar kula, you darshan the psukim the way that you throw the cards down and you see the way it happened before. However it happens to be. And in Dina Tefashis, you go always out of your way. The Pasuk says the Hitzilu Hueda, so the Hitzilu Hueda is not only in the Nihu Kabezdin in the Din, the Shas Yeshivas Habezdin, but the Hitzilu Hueda is also in the Darshaning of the Psukim, in the Midrash Atar and Dresh's Ben. So the Gemara says you should Darshan the Psukim of the Lukulas. So this is Russia. Bain Veloyov, that only applies when the child who stole from his parents and he ate the wine, he ate the meat and the wine, and some of the hooligans, the Skymisa. not only theoretically, is the father of a child, as long as it's right to be the father of a child. When is he right to be the father of a child? So if he would have gotten, if he would have made a woman pregnant, a cotton ain't a moilin. So the cotton is only, the child is only roi lahoilin, he can only be the father of a child after he's already bar mitzvah. So you would have thought 9 months after he's roi to be the father of a child, 9 months after his bar mitzvah. So the Gemara says no. Even if the child, then so remote, this one kid, this juvenile delinquent, if he would have made a woman pregnant on the day of his bar mitzvah and she would be pregnant for 3 months, it would be hukarubra, that's already called bein v'loya. Even though the child wasn't born yet, he's already called an av. So it's a double chiddush over here. Bein v'loyav doesn't only apply if he actually is a father, as long as he's right to be a father. Not right to be a father of an actual child that was born already, as long as he's right to be the father of a child who's an uber, who's hukar ubra. But it has to be hukar ubra. But then the Gemara has a question. There are two kinds of pregnancies. There's a 7 month pregnancy and a 9 month pregnancy. So how long does it take to be hukar ubra? Does most women have a 9 month pregnancy? Once in a while, a woman has a 7 month pregnancy. So does it take always 3 months to be hukar ubra? No matter whether it's a 7 month pregnancy or a 9 month pregnancy, or does it always take 1/3 of the pregnancy? If it's going to be a 7 month pregnancy, maybe it'll be a hukar ubra in 2 months and 10 days. So the Gemara asks, well, just a minute, if you've already stretched so far. He said, Ben Galayov applies even if the child of Ben Suramar, this rotten juvenile delinquent, doesn't have a child, just that he could have theoretically been the father of a child. And not only the father of a child that was born already, a father of a child that's Hukar Ubra. So why do you say 3 months? You should chisel it down further, only 2 months and 10 days. And after 2 months and 10 days, he no longer qualifies. If he steals the money from the parents then and he does the Aveira, he no longer can become a Ben Suramar. So the Gemara says, no. Even by a 7 month pregnancy, the hukar ubra is going to take a full 3 months. The Gemara says it's not true. They don't think that that's true. But they think that the correct answer is that even when you're darshaning psukim and dinin nefashis, and the halacha says you always go to kula, the hitzil ha'eda, not only in the niyuk ha'bezin, you go to hitzil ha'eda. But even in the drashas ha'psukim, yiddish ha'tan and drashas them are a little different from the area of drashas ha'psukim, but there's one universal klal in darshaning psukim that cannot be ignored even in the area of dinin nefashis. That you go basar roi. That you follow roi and did in the kashas. That's what Taisis referred to that sugim in Hedrin Dachtes. You know how that Azlina basar ubra did in the kashas. So the Gemara says, therefore you follow roi, since roi pregnancies are 9 months. If the kid taka made a girl pregnant on the day of his bar mitzvah, and the girl is hukar ubra after 2 months and 10 days, it's taka ben v'loyav, he's enough. What we're talking is not that much of a juvenile delinquent. He didn't live in Tafshin Nun Dala. He's not a Tanoim. He ran so wild at that time. So just talking theoretically, is he right to be an Av or not? So the Gemara says, determining whether he's right to be an Av is Drosha Sapsukin, Yukaved Aloch is based on the right. And since right pregnancies are 9 month pregnancies, and therefore the Shlish Yamehav, a 9 month pregnancy, is going to be 3 months, so that's why the Halacha was Nikvah, that it's 3 months. But this is Nagir to a Dindaraita, Taka, an obscure Dindaraita. Ikim is Losh Chadoshim, that 3 months is called Hukar Rubra, before 3 months not, even if you have a test, even if you have a pregnancy test, you know the woman is pregnant. Al Pidin, that's not called Hukar Rubra. Most of the cases in the Gemara are only dealing with Rabbanah. You've got Daya Shaita and Masachas Nida, and with regard to fasting and Tanesim. But here you have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that's Nagir to a Dindaraita.
Doesn't Rashi say? Here, I think you have to do the Gemara
that when
you say Mishlosh
Chodesh
Mishpach Beit Mamantzis, end of the verse, second, and then
the
beginning of the verse.
That's
so,
how Rashi quotes
from
another
Gemara
Nida.
Yeah.
So how
is that the basis of
Ben Sarmore?
If
Ben Sarmore
is full 3 months.
Ben Sarmore, again, if he would have made a woman pregnant on the day of his bar mitzvah, and then it would have really been Hukar Ubra after 2 months and 10 days, then he would have to be off the hook. He would be puppet. That's Taka Ben Goliath. But we're talking about, theoretically, the possibility of a Roy Liosav, Ben Goliath, and Ben Goliath, a Roy Liosav, so Roy Liosav is determined by the right of the women. Rashi claims that this was a 7 month, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, tomorrow. This was a 7 month pregnancy, and it was Hukarupa at 2 months and 10 days. This was Lamaisa, was so. But if it would have been a 9 month pregnancy, it would have been 3 months. We assume that most pregnancies are 9 month pregnancies. That's a shame. That's the result of none of that. All pregnancies are 9 month pregnancies. The Ramah says that it's not so. And the Gemara needed to machleke samaroin. Whether your letters letisha, your letters limikutoin, or your letters letisha, your letters lishleimin. Your letters letisha means if it's a 9 month pregnancy, that you assume that it's going to be mikutoin at the beginning of the 9th month. Once you enter into the 9th month, the baby can be born at any time, and that's normal and healthy. But he say, no, it's only called Korel HaKadosh if you have a full nine months. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara. Machlekes had a paskin. Machlekes the Rambam and the Ramban had a paskin. And the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Eben Ezra, whatever the psak was, the Yamim Ha'im, the Zmanahu, doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh, because the doctors say that Mishtanu Hatzvoim, and the Rambam says that the Zman Hazeh for sure, it's called Kol HaKadosh whenever the baby is born into the ninth month. That the Zman Hazeh for sure, if you have letters to Tisha, your letters limit to time. There's nothing abnormal about that. This is very relevant to Hukas HaZeilus. Let's say a baby is born in the beginning of the ninth month. Whenever a baby is born, and it's Kol HaKadosh, so even if the baby dies right away, the day after it's born, so the dinner you have to observe Avelis. If the baby is born and it's Lechol HaKadosh, then the Gemara says you have to wait 30 days. If you wait 30 days, so then it's a Bar Kayam. If the baby dies within 30 days, then it's not a Bar Kayam. And that's a Shaila. What if a baby is born in the ninth month? It wasn't Tesh Shleiman, it was Likutoyim. And then the child dies soon after it's born. Would the family have to observe Avelis or not? That's a big issue, halacha l'maaseh. The Pashto says that they should have to observe Avelis based on the Pesach of the Ramah, the end of Eben Ezra, and the Yibum v'chalitza, that he writes that his man is Nishtanu Atroim, because the Chuvis of the early Achronim, the late Rishonim, the early Achronim, in Tashbeis, that they say that his man is Nishtanu Atroim. But today it's normal for a 9-month pregnancy to just be a little over 8 months, just the beginning of the 9th month. So that's called Kol HaKadosh. So the Ramah Pasna Kol HaKadosh, that's a Vlad Bar Kayam. So the baby is born in the 9th month and then it dies very soon, even if it didn't survive 30 days. Pasna says there should be a Din of Aveh.
So, what is the difference
from saying that psychological therapy? Medical therapy? Medicine, we see changes a lot of times. We see a lot of things do change. Psychology is hard to tell whether the psychology has changed. Sometimes you see the psychology changes also. The Gemara has a lot of times psychology changes. So Rich just said that there are certain aspects of psychology that don't lend themselves to change. Those that appear in the Torah, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes around these things. So the reason why the psychology is like that is because of the Gzeiros HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But other things we see the parents change. Other aspects of psychology and other aspects of medicine we see absolutely change. For sure. The Gemara says, in the days of the Gemara they had no refrigeration, so the Gemara says when you catch a fish and you eat it, it's tasty, it's healthy, but if you leave it, out of the refrigerator for 2-3 weeks, then it's even better. The Taisa says that obviously in the Shana HaKoyim today, if you leave a fish out of the water and out of the refrigerator a couple of weeks, it'll die if you eat it. It's absolutely unhealthy. The Kohenim and Chayim, there are a lot of things in the Gemara that the Gemara says are very healthy, the Gemara says are very unhealthy, and as Manu said, the Rashbon, the Gronim say that it's not so at all. The Shana HaKoyim, the Gemara talks about in Yonim of Hilchos Tretus also. Some of the Hilchos Tretus have changed over the years. Places points out. Because the anatomy of the animals changes, sometimes from Medina to Medina, sometimes from generation to generation. You have to know which dinim lend themselves to change and which dinim not. Even within Hilchos Tretus, some of them lend themselves to change. Two dinim of Tretus. Some can change and some can't change. The Ravid Azov has a whole essay on this. That they came and they asked Yehuda, what should we do? What do you mean the gam hinei harol is nunim? They should have said, Tomer is pregnant, so obviously she was mizana, so therefore she's cried nisa. They didn't say that. They said she was mizana, and she's even pregnant also. So what's the significance? Pregnant makes it a bigger aver. So the Ravid Azov says, no. They were asking him a shayla, what should we do if a woman is cried nisa, but she's pregnant with a baby? Should we kill her now and kill the baby as well, kill the fetus as well, or should we wait till after the baby is born? Then we'll only be killing the mother. We won't be killing the uber. So if that was the question, what was the answer? What does that mean? So the Mishnah says in the end of the first parak in Erechin, that if a mulberis is chayevis miso, so you kill her even though she's mulberis. And the Gemara has a whole discussion, but why should you kill the uber unnecessarily? So the Gemara says, no. Whatever. The Gemara says, no, it's not a problem. So that's the Pashup Shavot Siyo, because he's sorry, we're going to kill her now. We're going to kill her now. The Ravid Azov wants to say a whole Pashup. Or the Ravid Azov or someone else, I think, wants to say a whole Pashup. Who has this? One of the Achronim, not from the Rishen. One of them says, Hotziyua means put her in jail. The Sisareif later. But don't kill her now. Well, why do they prompt them to say such a strange Pashan? Then they see that one of the Achronim has like this. But when do you say that you kill the pregnant woman even though you're killing the Uber also? even though you're killing the Uber also, that's only if the people who are doing the killing are Jewish, if it's a Bez Mishal Yisrael. And the din is that by Bnei Yisrael, if you kill an Uber, you're not Chayv Nisa. But by Bnei Noach, the Gemara says, if you kill an Uber, you are Chayv Nisa. So that Mishnah at the end of the first period in Erechim would not apply. What's the din taka here? Indeed in the Mahusa, if a woman is Chayv Nisa, do they give the death penalty ever? Yeah, once in a while they give the death penalty. What would be the din? Indeed in the Mahusa. The Mahusa probably makes up whatever they want. What should the din be? Forget about what the din is here. What should the din be in abstract? If a non-Jewish governor wants to give an Einish Nisa to a woman, and it turns out that she happens to be pregnant, so would they give her the Einish Misa even though they're killing the Uber or not? That's one of the Machabrim, right? No, how can they do that? If the Noach is Chayv Nisa al-Uber, so of course they'll have to wait till a baby is born. In order just to kill a mother, not kill a blood.
Even if
Israel
aren't Chayv Nisa, it's still the Osir.
It's certainly not there. The whole part is very difficult. It's certainly an Issa deraisa to kill an Uber. It's just that if you kill an Uber, you're not Chayv Nisa. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The Tai Chayis, the Pasuk called Siyu of the Sisarei, called Siyu means put her in prison. Until a baby is born, and then it's Yisarei. How do you read that in the Pasuk? It doesn't read well at all. The Pasuk, if you want to say that that was the Shaila, she violated the Znus, and she's even pregnant, what should we do? If that was the Shaila, so the Tshuva was, as it says in the Mishnah in Erechim, that you kill her, even though she's pregnant, even though you're going to kill the baby also, even though you're going to kill the fetus. The Mishnah just says, if Yashva la-Mashber, if she's already in labor, so then you don't give her the Einish Misa because she's pregnant. The Kodman that she's Adayim lo Yashva la-Mashber, then you do kill a pregnant woman, even with a baby and son. Why was she Chayv Nisa? What avera did she do? So the Gemara says in Avod Azara, third Mimuk books, from Avod Azara on above on the day, she had violated a Nisa de Rabbana. She was a Gioris. Tama was a Gioris, obviously, because she married one of the two of the children of Yehuda. She married Er, then she married Einon. Obviously he wouldn't let a non-Jewish woman marry his children, so she was a Gioris. Who was she Mizana with? After that she was Mizana with Yehuda. But they didn't, no one knew that, so they thought that she was Mizana with a Goy. Ubedal all over, who then? Who could she possibly be Mizana with? But a Jew, so they thought certainly she was Mizana with a Goy, obviously. And then later on he says, no, Tzat Kamimeni, she was Mizana with me. So that's not, but originally they thought she's Chayv Nisa because Bezdina Shoshen Gozru on intermarriage. Intermarriage is sometimes an Issa Deraisa and sometimes an Issa Derabbana. If it's done the Parhesia, then it's going to be an Issa Deraisa, right? If it's done the Tzina, then the Zina Shoshen goes over, it's an Issa Derabbanan. So they were prepared to give her a Tisaref, to give her the Yonis Reifo, because she was in violation of an Issa Derabbanan. That's how Maisa, that's how the Gemara understands. You're allowed to give an Yonis Misa for violation of an Issa Derabbanan. So the Gemara Sanhedrin says, sometimes, yeah, around Afman Hey, the Gemara says, and it's quoted from the Chayish Mishpat, the beginning of Chayish Mishpat, in the base, and you know, it's quoted. That Bezna Akmiyon Shalem and Adin, Bezna has a right even with Manazah. The local Bezna, even though there's no Sanhedrin Dola, even though there's no Beis HaMikdosh and there's no real Smicha, the din is that if the Bezna feels that it's necessary to give an Einish Misa, to give an Einish Malkus, even for violation of an Issa de Rabbanon, they have the right to see here also. Felt at that time that it was necessary to give an Einish Misa, for having violated the Gzeir of the Beis Dino Shoshem on intermarriage with Sinner. Tur has a different shot on the Sisarev. He quotes from Rabbi Yudah Chassid a different shot. The Sisarev is going to burn the scarlet letter. He's going to burn an A in her forehead. The Sisarev. In order that everybody should know that this woman was a Zaina. She was a Putz. That's how the Tur quotes from Rabbi Yudah Chassid, shot in the Sisarev. That's also based. The Gemara says, Rav Huna Kotz Yada. The Gemara says in the Nidan, the beginning of the second parak in Nidan, and Edvin is going to have in the third parak, that sometimes Rav Huna would cut off people's hands. Why? Because the Arabs do it. What did it? No, the Gemara says because Bez Machmeyan, Shishlem and Adin, you have a right if it's necessary. You see that that's the only way to stop the person from doing Averis, and you feel that it's very important to stop him from doing Averis, then you have a right even to do things that are not forms of punishment that are mentioned in Chumash at all. Cut the order to cut off again. Mara has a comment in Nidan, the Pasuk, that he belittled of Ayit and Yod, the baby stuck out its hand. The Teretz Mima quotes from the Gemara Nida. Hotzi Uber is Yodai, the Uber stuck out its hand from the mother's body, the Hazira, so the mother is already Pnei Oleda. She's already a Yoledis. But the Gemara is based on this Pasuk, he belittled of Ayit and Yod, called Leda, even though only the hand came down. Then the Gemara says in Nida, that's only a Chumra Midir Rabbanim, and I tell you there is no such thing. And I tell you it's only called Leda if you have Rosho, or Rubo, one or the other, either Rosho or Rubo. Usually you have Rosho comes out first. And Rosh doesn't mean the whole Rosh either, just means Padach. The Rosh usually comes out from this part of the head. David speaks at this part of the head first. And then when the Padachas comes out, Rov HaPadachas, the Shachrei, Rov HaPadachas comes out, so then I'll teach in the whole baby's called Yodim. If the baby's coming out the other way, then you're going to have problems. If the feet are coming out first, then you're going to have problems. But whatever, once the Rov of the baby comes out, so then the baby is called Yodim. But if it just sticks out of hand, that's all teach in, not called later. That's only a Chumra Mid Rabbanan. It might not mean it's only a Chumra, it's not a Kula. But your leathers cannot go to mikveh before 7 days or 14 days, depending on whether it's a baby boy or a baby girl. So let's say there was Hotzi Yodim 5 minutes before the Shkia. And then it was a long labor, and she doesn't, a long delivery, she doesn't have the baby is not Yotze Rosh HaMeruba until after Tzeis HaKavim. So the first day of the 7 days, or the 14 days of Yomim Tmeim, will be the night, not the Yom. It is in of Hotze Yodo, Ha'iva Lirza, Ba'itan Yod, the whole thing is an Asmachim in Rabban, it's not true. That's why it's very telegic that today, some Rabbanim say once the woman's water breaks, so she already has the status like a Yoledis. But he hasn't status like any of the person. What does it say about it? The Gemara just says, Hotzi Yodoi. Hotzi Yodoi. You treat her like a mayor. So it doesn't say the water breaking. The water breaking makes it. The Gemara talks about Siach Sakeva. That's a different thing. When the cervix dilates, so you have to Siach Sakeva like that. So then you assume that the woman became a nida, not a labor. She became a nida. Who says that there's dam just because the water breaks? Not necessarily.
How much was it after that labor?
That's a big problem. We're not sure exactly how much. Moshe has a very difficult shiva about that. There are women who come to the hospital and they're dilated 10 centimeters. 10 centimeters, they can already have the baby. And the nurse measures them and say 10 centimeters. So that's it. It's not going to dilate anymore. And then, so let's say the nurse tells the couple, the nurse tells the husband and wife, she's already dilated 10 centimeters. But he considered that psich takeva, that the woman is already in meter. So Moshe has a shiva about this. And he says the minhag always was that you don't treat the woman as a nida until something else happens later on, so she can't walk anymore, whatever. So he says, but she's dilated. So he says, no, it must be. The answer is the nurses are lying. She's not dilated. It's a very scary answer. to get two Kuma men, get two Rabbanim with long beards, and they'll measure how dilated the woman is. I'll tell you the same thing, she's also dilated. Same sheer dilated. Very shveri answer this. A woman is not dilated 10 centimeters. Very shveri tshuva. Very unclear how much dilation do you need for Psicha Sakeh.
And the assumption that you need a labor also, in other words, that you child before, and the men that have Psicha Sakeh, you done.
No, the Gemara says Psichas HaKev even without any blood at all. Just Psichas HaKev alone. But even in the Nebbi Yehuda, even the Chadish, even Psichas HaKev and Yibachut, if the doctor stretches the cervix, even though nothing is coming out at all, it's not even a natural Psichas HaKev. Nebbi Yehuda was in the Chadish like that. But also, you have to have Psichas HaKev like that. Yeah. The Gemara talks about the possibility of Lady Yavesh, that's the other mandama, that actually looks like a kebab like that.
Right, but the mandama has said that he actually is actually a child born, so maybe only when there's some kind of Leda, but he didn't find any diamonds, so you assume that since the kebab was open,
No, the Gemara says it's fair, even if there's no Leda. But in the Gemara, one might argue the point and say it's only if it's because that kebab wasn't in the sin. Because the body was pushing something out. It wasn't the blood, it was pushing something out, a piece of tissue. And then Yehuda even was Machadesh, and then he accepted, and there are those who disagree. And then Yehuda is Machadesh even Psirah Sakev, and Yibachut, artificial Psirah Sakev, also causes dumps. So that's the question, just plain dilate. When the woman comes, she's dilated, so you already say that there's dumps. That's where Moshe's problem. Sefer Adin Hazov, he points out a very interesting thing, that at the end of the Parsha, in the dream that the Tzar Mashkin had, he sees the way Paro has the cup in his hand, and he takes the cluster of grapes, which just are fully ripe, and Tekshilo Ashkelo Seha Anavim, where Paro, he squeezes out the grapes directly into the cup, and Paro is drinking the grape juice, not even wine, just some grape juice, so you see that this is a Mashke Chashuv, Oel HaShulchan Alofet, that kings drink such a thing. So he says it's probably the sacred of Yid Azor is the sefer that the Tereshima relied on very heavily. That's what he quotes in his introduction. He was a diamond donor, the days of the Gomer Gaon. He always tries to give him a Torah, so Dinim in the Gemara is based on the Tzukim and Chumash. The Gemara doesn't give them up. He usually quotes all the rushes that the Gemara has and that the Rishonim have, and then he adds on his own. So he quotes the Gemara, and Baba Basra says in Amechas HaPeiris that you cannot recite Kiddush on wine that's not Roi L'Nasach HaGabi HaMizbeah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What if you have Yayin, I squeeze out grapes and I make grape juice, and it's not even fermented at all? So the Gemara says that would be possible Nasach HaGabi HaMizbeah, but the Kiddush it is good. And the Gemara has a brisa that says, Tichah Sotam Eshkel Shalanovim, so I'm a Roi Kiddush Ayan. A person can take a cluster of grapes and squeeze it out and recite Kiddush. So the Revid Azad, yes, why did he use such a lashon? Seichat Adam Eshkol Shalana. So you think that it's mamish paraphrasing this kimat direct quotation from this pasuk where it quotes if she lashkol tanavim, where it quotes tanavim, I'll quote paro to show that that's oil shulchan malachim, that the king drinks grape juice. So it's so that's good for kiddush. Also, I for mizbeach it's no good. You have to have dafke yain that at least arboim yom. At least fermented for 40 days. He says, yeah, that's a special dinner. You have to have hasech nesach shecha. It has to be needed in the shaker. It's not even, it didn't even ferment for 40 days, so it's not needed in the shaker at all. But as far as Kiddush is concerned, you don't need needed in the shaker. So what is it, Ramayim? When we say that, Einon Kiddush Ayyam, El Al Ayyam, Haro El Anasa, Hagabi, and Mitzvah, Mimute Mai. It's not Mimute Yayin Nigito, Mamish, I just squeezed out the wine. So what is it, Mimute? So the Gemara says, Mimute Yayin Shehelot Mochin. If it's crummy wine, if it's spoiled already, sometimes you keep wine for too long and it's spoiled and you have a tiny little particles floating on top, so you're not allowed to use that kind of wine for Kiddush. It's sour, so that's just like a pasul anasa chagali and azeah. You're not allowed to use it for Kiddush, but just because it's not royal anasa, because it's not needed in the shaker, that itself does not pose a problem. It's based on that gemara that there's a shayla machlokes in the Mishnah. What about yain mevushel? Because yain mevushel is not royal anasa chagali and azeah. Machlokes. Sure enough, whether that's good for Kiddush. We pass them that it is good, but there are many who are machma, like the Raman's opinion, that you shouldn't use Yayin Mevushel for Kiddush. And then even on the assumption that Yayin Mevushel is no good, what if they have Yayin Shaloi is Bashel, Yayin She'ein Mevushel? What if they have Yayin which is not Mevushel, but it has sugar added? Would that be possible? It's possible Nasach HaGav Yayin Mizbeach, because the din is that if you have Sored Vash mixed in, any korban has Sored Vash mixed in, you're not allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach. But what about the Kiddush? Would you say that that's no good? So the Rambam has a machlokes with the Goyim on that point. So there were those who are machman that also not to use the Kiddush wine that has sugar added. Most of the wines have sugar added. Why does Yaitis say the Hotel Sanim and Abayit Hazer? Get me out of this room. It doesn't mean on the house. It means on the room. Every room is tied in the room. There must have been a lot of cells in the prison. Why does he just want to get out and not bother someone? Yeah, that's a strange Superman. It says that they put him in prison. They put him in... Very strange pasuk cup. Careful on the test. They put him in prison, the place where all the prisoners are in prison, and he was there in the prison. How many times do you have to say he was in prison? They put him in prison. Of course he's going to be in the prison. What does it mean? This place where all those prisoners are placed. Very strange pasuk. See, Pesach Frank quotes a whole interesting story that the communists once arrested. They used to arrest people for no good reason whatsoever. They once arrested a rogue and he put him in prison. And he didn't do anything wrong, just he was Jewish. So that's why they put him in jail. And they had no hearing whatsoever under the communists. Absolutely no hearing whatsoever. So he's pleading tachanunim. He wants to speak to the man in charge of the prison just for 5-10 minutes. So he finally gave him permission. So when he spoke his 5 minutes to the head of the police, whatever it was, so he said, do you know your Bible? Do you remember the first Jewish prisoner? So he says, yes. Yosef Afsari says, you know what it says there? And he started to tell that. This story was told by this rabbi after he got out of prison to Rav Chaim Weizer, who told it over to others who came to Eretz Yisrael after the war, and they told it over to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He used to sit with all the rabbonim and talk and learning in his home. So he wrote up the notes on what everybody has to say. Tshuva, something like that, and his comments on Kumish, or the collection of what everybody had to say. So someone told over this chat that the Rav had told to Rav Chaim Weizer, that he told the head of the police that in the prison, in the days of Yosef, there were two sections. There was one section where they put in people that they're going to investigate what their crime was, or they had already determined, they already had the hearing what the crime was, and the psak was they have to stay in prison for 2 years, for 5 years, for 20 years, whatever it is. So they're there for a time period. They're there until they investigate whether they did anything wrong temporarily, or they're there for a couple of years as punishment. Then they had another section in the prison. Those people are there for life. That was the dungeon. Those people are there for life. But that's what Yosef was pleading over here. They put him in the prison. They just leave the people forever. And by he shalom, they thought he was going to be there forever. And he's pleading, get me out of this room in the prison. Put me in the other part of the prison where they do investigate. Don't leave me in this door. Put me in the other part of the prison where they investigate, where they give you a hearing. I want to have a hearing. So finally that's what happened. He pleaded with the chief of police that they should put him in the other section of the prison where they'll investigate. And he says, they'll investigate, they'll see that this robber is telling the prison chief, they'll see that I'm innocent. And he got out of prison like that. Interesting shot in the pussy. But Yosef was only asking to be moved from one part of the prison to the other, not that he has to get out of the prison. That's why he said, Hosei Sanim and Abayi Sanim. Difficult parsha.
We'll do the inui. I will even punish those who did the abdus. Sounds like he's not going to punish those who didn't let the Jews leave. They were probably not alive at the end. Whatever. He's not going to punish those who didn't let the Jews leave in the beginning because they were living. They had their cult too. That wasn't a problem. But Kodesh Baruch Hu says, not only will I punish those who did the inui, I will even punish those who did the abdus. That's why he says the gamas agoy. I don't know. Probably not the pasuk shah. Very difficult pasuk. Why the gamas agoy? Taisus and Brochus is bothered with Akasha. Here the Pasuk says before, Vayotzei Sachutz, he counts the stars. He spends a half an hour counting the stars. Obviously it was the middle of the night. You can't count the stars in the daytime. You don't see any stars. But here it says, Vayi Hashem Ishbo, the sun was about to set. The sun was about to set because he's just counting the stars. So Taisus and Brochus poses that Akasha in the first parrot. So they say that there's a stuma here in between. Achar hadvarim ha'ilo ha'ya dvar Hashem al Avraham ha'machaz eleim. The Tosafot says these are two different parashas. It didn't happen one after the other. It wasn't, no. That's the wrong, I'm reading the wrong thing. There's no spuma. It just keeps on going. Vayotzei Sachutz says Pasuk Hey. Then it just keeps on going. Sounds like it's a hemshech. So Tosafot says even though there's no spuma here. Taisus says this was not a hemshech. This did not happen after this. In fact, Taisus claims that this story, the Bris Ben Absorim, happened years earlier. And Taisus says that this Bris Ben Absorim was made before the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. And Taisus points out, based on the dates, that it says that he was 75 years old when he left Ur Kazan to go to Eretz Canaan, and at this time he was only 70 years old. So obviously this story with the Bris Ben Absorim was 5 years before. No, it says he was in Eretz Yisrael. Nisati is Eretz Hazos. So what was he doing in Eretz Yisrael? So he had a business trip. He must have been on a business trip. Obviously his father went back and forth for business, not for religious purposes, because at the end of Parshas Noach, it says that he was on his way traveling to Eretz Yisrael. So what was he? He was also interested in Ruchnias. The father was the chief manufacturer of the Avodah Zarah, according to the message. So what was he traveling to Eretz Yisrael? For business, to sell the idols. So that's what the Rishonim say. Apparently, they used to travel back and forth for business purposes. So he happened to be Alpi Mikra, happened to be in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Rosh Hashanah made the Bris Ben Absorim with him, and then he went back to the Rosh Hashanah giving Eretz Yisrael. Then he went back to Chutz Lars, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands him 5 years later, knew it's about time that you go back to Eretz Yisrael. I gave you Eretz Yisrael. How come you're staying over here? Sarah didn't have any children. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel were all our chorus. Each one had an asik with having children. Each one had a problem. But according to the Gemara in Yevamos and Habo Yevimta, Sarah was in a much worse condition than Rivka and Rachel. Sarah was she didn't have a whole Beis HaRechem Kalika. She was missing that whole part of her body. She was missing the whole thing. Mamish Bader HaTeva was impossible. Other people have hormone problems. So you go to a good doctor, so he'll straighten it out. But if you're missing the whole Beis HaRechem, there's nothing to discuss. So that's interesting. The Pasuk says later that Hagar had a baby. And then Sora felt very bad. So she complains to her husband, Hamasi Alecho, that she's angry at her husband. What is it supposed to say? But I'm sorry, Avram, Hamasi Alecho, no one thought you should cross the Hekecho. What does it mean, Hamasi Alecho? So Rashi says, Chomus Oasei Li, the Abla that's being perpetrated against me, that Hogar is supposed to be my maidservant, and she's very fresh to me. She doesn't have any garchesh, because she was there to have a baby, and I'm an old lady. I'll never have any babies. So she's very fresh to me, and this is all your fault. Because what is it? His fault? Because when you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wants to have a child, I have no children. So he was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a child. He prayed for himself instead of praying for himself and his wife. He only prayed for himself. That's what Rashi quotes in the Medrash. He should have said, give us a child. What do you mean, give me a child? Give us a child. He should daven for his wife. Lo hispalalta el alach, boi lo chalos palal shneinu, lo hayisiyan inif kedisimcha. So it's not fair, it's all your fault. It's haka, shtarka tayin. Haka Avraham Avinu only prayed for himself. That's not right. Like the rabbis tell over the joke about the fellow who just got married, and then they made up that they're going to go to Niagara Falls, so he goes to the ticket office to buy the tickets for the bus, and he says, one ticket to Niagara Falls, and his wife is behind him, and she says, you forgot about me. What about me? So he says to the ticket clerk, he says, oh, I forgot about myself. In other words, the one ticket that he asked for, that was really for his wife. He forgot to ask for the ticket for himself. Yeah, he's covering up. He's so used to it. So what's over here? They're married for so many years, and they went through so much in life together, and all of a sudden he says, Anochi Haruchari, me, Tenli Zera, I want a baby. Well, he doesn't ask for his wife. He doesn't ask for both of them. It's Takanad, right? So they quote in the name of Rav Elvola that this medrash perhaps is based on that Gemara, that Ein Lo Vola means she didn't have a whole base Arachim. Everything was missing. So what is going to ask for a Nez Gomer min Hashemayim? Avraham Avinu was an old man. So in all the people, they're not able to be Mailid, but they're a Hateva. If they'll take hormone pills, Mistama, they'll be able to be Mailid. If you have an Akabah person like that, if you have the right diet and you have the right chemicals, so the body can function again. So Avraham Avinu is not asking for a Nez Nigla min Hashemayim. But he's going to ask that his wife, Sarah, should be able to have a baby. But they're a Hateva. She's missing that whole part of her. She's missing those organs of the body. So there's nothing to be misfiled for. The Gemara says in Brachas, in the Mishnah Brachas it says if the wife is pregnant and she's about to have a baby, he's only chalash and can have a son or a daughter or whatever. He's not allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he wants on now, the day before she has the baby. It's too late. Either it's already been determined, either it's a boy or it's a girl. So what do you want? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to make a nest to change the sex of the baby, but you're not permitted to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do a nest. That's what Avabula said. That's why Hitaka didn't happen for his wife. I remember many years ago I was in the Panavish Yeshiva. They were saying Tilim for one of the Talmidim who was dying from cancer, who died later on from cancer. So the Mashgiach, Rav Chatzko, was alive. He didn't want to say Tilim. I didn't know. I wasn't sitting up in the front. But that Shabbos I ate by Rav Shmuel Razovsky. So he told me what the Tilpul was about. So he said the Mashgiach didn't want to say Tilim. He says, what am I going to say Tilim? The guy's dying from cancer. But there are Hateva. There's no way in the world to save him. Stach mamish tzoyik all over. If it's so far gone. So he told him, Rav Shmuel Razovsky told the Mashgiach, that the doctors had said, see, for laymen to say, it doesn't make any meaningless, but the doctors had said about this person who was dying that there was another person that they had in the same hospital who had the same degree of cancer to their assessment and did survive and did pull through. So when he told that to the Mashgiach, he said, okay, so now he's going to say Tilim, but to say Tilim for a person in Mamish, Agoisis, he's holding by dying, and B'derech HaTeva, the doctors think that it's impossible, Shum Tonim Shaboilim, to save his life. So that's Mamish at Soya Kal Shava. That's why. It's like Avraham Avinu wasn't mispalled for his life. He's not going to ask for a nice nigla that you're not allowed to be mispalled for. Yeah, she had dam coming out every month, but she didn't. Nora says she. No, she had that part of the body she had, another part she didn't have. The different parts in the woman's body. So the parts that are crucial for having babies, she didn't have at all. When Hagar was pregnant with Yishmael, how did they know? Well, she ran away. Achor v'yoladet beinu, Kiroshmo Yishmoel, Kishom Hashem Eson Elonye, Hu Yihye Pere Odom. That's a very difficult construction. In Hebrew, you say he is a good boy. Hu Yeletov, we say he is a boy good. No? In English you say he is a good boy, give the adjective before you give the noun. But in Hebrew you should say Hu Yeh Odom Pere, or you say Hu Yeh Odom Pera'i. Ayer Pere, there's a Pasuk Ayer Pere, Navi somewhere. You don't say Pere Ayer. It's like you're taking English, you're taking a foreign language and saying Hebrew with English grammar. So the Mefarshim asked that. So some say that that's exactly what it means. It means he will be a Pere. He's not going to be an Adam. He's not going to be a human being, a wild man. He'll be a wild Indian in the shape of an Adam. The adjective, like yellow toad, the adjective follows the noun. The noun is that the Arabs are Proim. And then the description of these Proim is that they look like human beings. It's in the shape of a human being. But that's the difficulty in this process. Hu Yeh Pera Adam should have said Adam Proim. Vatikra Shem Hashem Hadoiver Leo Atok Kel Roiki Omra Hagam Halom Roisi Acharei Roi. This is a very difficult passage. How to translate the word Hagam Halom Roisi Acharei Roi. Some write that one of the Machkilim, Metrab Chaim Soloveitchik, on one occasion, he told him an original pshat in the passage. Rab Chaim got angry and he said that it's not Roiski Halton, and he shook out five psukim in Tanakh to show that it's wrong. So he said, the Maskil suggested. The pasuk says that this is a malach who is speaking to. Vayomer la'malach Hashem, vayomer la'malach Hashem. Pasuk says, pasuk yud, malach. So she wasn't sure that it's a malach. Maybe it's a person who's pulling some stunt over her. So she looked for footprints in the sand. This is in the desert. So she looked for footprints and she didn't see any footprints. So she says, Hagam halom ro'isi acharei ro'i. Did I see any footprints? Halom in Tanakh sometimes has the meaning of steps. Footsteps. So she says, did I see any footsteps over here? I haven't seen any footsteps. It must be that the being who appeared to me must have been an angel, because it would have been a human being, there should have been some footprints left. That's when she realized, Atokeroi, must have been God communicating to her through an angel. This is the pshat that the Maskil wants to say. So Chaim said that it's not Oizgahal, because whenever it says the word Hagam, it means that it is true, not that it's not true. So one passage that I remember was, Hagam Shaw Banavim. And he was saying the word. But Rav Chaim quoted several other psukim. They have it, some Sforim have it written over. He quoted five or six psukim in Tanakh with the expression Hagam appears. And in each place it means that the thing is true, not that it's not true. So you can't interpret Hagam Halom Roi, Hagam Halom Roi Seachari, have I seen footprints? I have not. And therefore it's a proof that there's no human being, there's not a hoax, that this is not a human being is pulling the wool of my eye, must be an angel. So you have to go back to whatever the classical Mefarshim say on Pasuk, which is very difficult. It's a very construction of a Pasuk. As Moshe changes the name of Avraham Avinu, and he says his new name, Avraham, means Av Hamon Goyim Nisaticho. He added a hey to his name. And then Sarai's name is also changed. Sarai to Sarah, also a hey. Tesis in Chagigah, the end of the first parak says that the Tana ben Hei, they give a suggestion, maybe ben Hei was a descendant of Gerim. Hei means that when a person becomes a Ger, so you add a hey onto his name. Like Abraham got a hey and Sarah got a hey. The Tesis, I think, suggests that then Bagbag and ben Hei may have been the same person. Bagbag is a Rosh Hashem, ben Ger, Basgir. And then Hei means one who's a descendant of parents who added on Hei to their name, like Abraham and Sarah. The Bell points out that in the Pasuk it says, when Avraham Avinu's name was changed, it says, V'layikori ode Shimcha Avraham, V'hoyo Shimcha Avraham. From now on your name should be Avraham. And by Sarai, the expression is different. Sarai ishtachod laitikra shmos Sorai, Kisora Shema. Her name has, sounds like her name has already been changed to Sora. Sounds like Avraham Avinu says, from now on your name should no longer be called, she should no longer be called Avram. From now on, you should be called Avraham. It doesn't say your name has already been changed, Avram. By Soro, it sounds like a Soro Shmo. Her name had already been changed. So the Velt says pshat, that when the husband gets smicha, and he has to work 4 years, 5 years, whatever, to smicha, has to work his head off, then he gets smicha, then the wife becomes automatically a rebbetzin. The minute he, or when someone is appointed president,